Saturday night at 5:30. You are invited. We'd love to see you. One service Saturday night, 5:30, and services as usual on Sunday morning at 10:30. But I'm inviting you to either one of our services. Love to see you. Again, Saturday night, 5:30 for our Christmas Eve service, 10:30 a.m. for our regular Sunday service, and we're going to have Holy Communion as well this Sunday. So you're invited. I'd love to see you. Here's part two of this message. But what you won't face or have to endure is the wrath of God. Church, you will never face the wrath of God, because he took your penalty in your place. The substitute. Darren, this is where we end up every week. I don't plan it this way. Everything goes right back to here. It's not even written down. I got to write these things down. Everything ends up here. Jesus took your and my penalty in our place. He suffered the penalty. He paid the price. There is therefore now, the Bible says, thank you to those that are in Christ Jesus. He took our penalty in our place. This is how we can boldly get through this, is there's no condemnation on us. Or this verse. 1 Thessalonians 5:9. It says, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Your lot is salvation. He took our wrath upon himself. That's why we're here shouting this morning. Because we're grateful for what he did by dying in our place, taking our penalty upon himself, dying when he wasn't supposed to, dying when he didn't have to, dying when I was supposed to. I was supposed to die. Not him. We've already said it once. He, that's the Father, made him, that's the Son, who knew no sin. The King James says he was made into sin. Imagine forming that snowball. Made. God made his Son into sin. And wouldn't even look at him anymore. What did he say on the cross from that? Bring it up, right? My God, my God. Why have you forsaken me like this? It's so that you and I won't have to go through tribulation anymore. You and I will never have a gavel come down over you and God to declare you guilty, because his Son paid the penalty for it. He took our guilt. So that you and I can be free and walk out of these doors free. Never to be judged again. Now, by golly, that's good news. And I'm not going to apologize for it. I'm going to get excited about it. Infect as many of you as possible. Thank God I've infected this whole. You all got what I got. You're infected. You're infected with what? I'd say gratitude. Love for him. And then because of that, love for others. We must have 30 volunteers for the food pantry here. Maybe they're not all here at the same time. But you help because you care about people, because you're grateful for what he's done. And you feel bad for people that don't have a loaf of bread. See, he knows your works. See, it's good. Our works are good. When they're done in his name. And when they're done to bring him glory. Not because we feel we have to work for them. Or get out of purgatory. Now. The wrath of Satan is a whole nother thing. We have been fighting the wrath of Satan for nigh on, go back to Job's time if you want, 4,000 years. You and I, unfortunately, will always face that. That's not the wrath of God. That's the wrath of Satan. You got to make a distinction. That is not God. That is the stinking devil. God's image is of his son on a cross, shedding his blood. That's the image for you and I. It's the Son of God on the cross, shedding his blood, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. That's the image for me. It's the Son of God dying for me. But make a distinction between the wrath of Satan. You know, at least one Christian has died in this world as a martyr, right? Good Lord, go get the Fox's Book of Martyrs sometime and look through that book. Look at all the Christians that were set on fire, dipped in oil and lit to light some crazy man's games. So, again, that's totally different. We face it today, right here among us today. The wrath of Satan is evident in our demon-infested public schools. The wrath of Satan is all around us in our evil government, the evil government that runs this country. It's full of the wrath of Satan. Look around. These things aren't godly. These things aren't godly. This country's not leading you to godliness. It's leading you to immorality and sin. It is what it is. Shut me down, he'll say it next. Shut him down, we'll hire someone else. You can't change the truth by changing the speaker. It's in the Word of God. This is an evil country. I'm grateful to see changes, positive changes, like here in Florida. They've changed, I think, every group, school group, they've all changed conservative now. Even Miami. I'm not saying it right, school group. The school boards, they've all turned conservative after this last primary election. Miami is now 7-1. 7 conservatives to 1 liberal. So now these are the groups that decide ... all the evil. I'm not even going to waste our time talking about it. You know what I'm talking about. The things that go on in schools today. Now they've changed the people. Now they finally have people that fear God that are going to be making these decisions. Not those that shake an angry fist at them. So, we can make a difference, right? We vote for people like that. That vote for people that fear God. That's the answer. Okay, let's go on with what the Lord is saying to them. Page 6, Darren. Number 3, he says, I know your poverty. See, sometimes you think you're poor, but you're actually rich. Like the Lord told this church. Now, the church at Laodicea, we're going to look at next week, they had the opposite problem. They thought they were rich by how much money they had in the bank. And Jesus said, you're not rich, you're poor. You're a beggar. Not only are you poor, you're miserable, and you're blind, and you're naked. It's not based on how much money you have. These people thought they were poor. Jesus calls them rich. You and I have an incorrect view of riches and poverty. True riches are not measured by one's bank account. Remember what God said to Samuel the prophet. I love this quote. 1 Samuel 16:7. God says this, God does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. The Lord looks at the heart. You might think that you're poor, but Jesus says you're rich. You know what? If you know him, then you're rich. If you know him, you are rich. It doesn't matter how much money you have. On the flip side, you might think you're rich, but Jesus said, you, former friend,
are bankrupt. You're bankrupt. If you're a friend of this world, you're the enemy of God. I don't care how much money you have. You're bankrupt. Next up, Jesus said to them, I know the blasphemy of those who say that they are Jews but are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. How can you say you were a Jew but not be one? I mean, either you are or you're not, right? No. I read the verse to you before, Romans 2:28. He is not a Jew who was one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision outward of the flesh. He is a Jew who was one inwardly. Notice how he just spiritualized that text? He's telling you it's okay not to interpret that literal. And I'm a literalist. And I love it that the one time he doesn't want you to take something literally, he tells you don't. A Jew is not a circumcised male or someone whose name is Blumstein. Doesn't make you a Jew, he's saying. A Jew is one inwardly, like the ones we looked at before. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Peter, Paul, Simon, and Bartholomew, and the 12. A Jew is one, is a spiritual son of Abraham. A Jew is someone that believes in God and takes him at his word. That's what he says. He's giving you the okay to spiritualize this text. Everyone with me? It's not outward. It's what's in here is what he's saying. Really, ultimately, what he's saying here to these guys is, I am well aware of your enemies. That's what he's saying. I am well aware of your enemies out here. Verse 9. Page. Well, you might as well get ready to come up then. Sorry, folks, I'm not going to finish this sermon today. We got communion to do today. Would you rather stay an extra 10 minutes? Yes? Sit down, son. Verse 9. I know your works, your tribulation, and your poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say that they are Jews but are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Again, what a statement. Well, these so-called Jews aren't Jews. They are the synagogue of Satan. You see, Jesus, back in John 8:44, Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil. The Son of God himself called most of the Jews, he called all the Jews that don't believe in him. He says that Satan was their father. That's why he says, not everyone who says that they are a Jew is a Jew. You're a Jew if you bow the knee to him and call him Lord. You're a Jew if you accept and receive what God's given you about his son. If you don't, then you need to change daddies. Great news is it's not too late. If you're here today, it's not too late. You could have already lost this bet and still change, right? We looked at this sermon before. Even if you're a tare, it's not too late. You can change daddies. You don't have to remain who you are. As long as he hasn't come back yet and there's still breath in you, you can change your spiritual standing here today by denouncing and cutting yourself off from this master of darkness and calling on the name of the Lord Jesus to be saved. And you will no longer be who you were. You will now be an adopted son of God, just like him and him and her and everyone else. You don't have to remain that way. Let me ask a question. Would these Jews worship Satan deliberately if they knew it? Not on your life would they do that. But hear me now. Here's the important truth to be learned here. They are deceived. They're deceived. Granted, God's got a spirit of stupor on the nation of Israel, Romans 11, 7 and 8. But these people are deceived. If they would have known, you know, to think that something that is trying to exterminate Christians is something, the right thing to do, while something trying to exterminate Christians is something else, the devil's handiwork. You're doing the devil's work by trying to exterminate Christians. You are deceived. You think you're serving God and you're not. You're deceived. That's what was wrong with these Jews. They were deceived. If you are a woman in this planet and if you have had an abortion, you've been deceived. You haven't committed the unpardonable sin, but you've been deceived. My point is, you've been deceived. You think that something, having an abortion, is something, your own right, while something, having an abortion, is something else. That's a child of God. God created it. Once it has a heartbeat, it's not yours anymore. Sorry. That's where I stand. That's where the Bible, God said, before I formed you in the womb, I already knew you. Do you hear about what this crazy politician said the other day? This lady running for governor, who very well might be the president soon in this country. She said there's no such thing as a heartbeat for a 9-week-old. She said that was a deliberate, it was a false recording of a heartbeat that Republicans do to trick women to make slaves out of them. So any heartbeat, there's an old scratchy 33 RPM record playing behind the curtain. Maybe a 78. Maybe there's a squirrel running around there. But you see, the point is, if you believe that, you're deceived. That's what she's telling constituents. This was Friday. They're deceived. You see, Proverbs 14:12. There is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. All right, verse 10. Do not fear any of those things you're about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison so that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Those of you who find yourself in the persecuted church, the devil's about to put some of you into prison so that you may be tested. All right, let's understand this now. This was a word for them. That's not saying every Christian in a persecuted church is going to spend March 5th to the 14th in prison. That was a word for them. But you can still glean some truth out of that about this persecuted church. Tested by who? God or Satan? Satan. That's what he says here. The devil's about to throw some of you into prison so that you may be tested and you'll have tribulation 10 days. That 10-day period, that was for them in the first century. But understand this, how this works. What can we glean out of this letter? This is how he works. This is what Satan does. This is what he thinks of you. Look at what he did to Peter when Peter's sin of pride opened the door for the devil to come in. He said this. The Lord said to Peter, he said, Simon, Simon. Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you so that your faith may not fail. And once you have returned, strengthen your brothers. Satan, what can you glean from this letter to these guys? Satan thinks you will do anything to save your hide. That's what to glean from this. Like Job chapter 2, verse 4, Satan is quoted as saying, skin for skin. All that a man has, he will give for his life. That's what. This is why this kind of stuff happens, because the devil thinks that if he can get you into that position, that you'll cave every time. Every time. He's been studying man for thousands of years, and he's got man, at least some men and women, figured out that get you into that position, and you'll cave every time. That's what we can glean from this church. Or is the devil wrong? Next up, the Lord encourages the pastor here at Smyrna and all of us to be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. James talks about this crown as well. He said, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he has been tested, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those that love him. Verse 11, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And we'll stop it right here. We'll stop it here for the day. Satan thinks that he has you pegged. Again, he himself is quoted as saying, all that a man has, he will give for his life. So, is he right in your case, or is he wrong? That's for you to decide. I've been thinking of this verse. The last thing that the Apostle Paul said before he died, like that. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, he said, I am already being poured out like a drink offering. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not just to me only, but to all who have loved his appearance. But I'm looking for another. Okay. Verse 17. Well, Paul said, at my first offense, no one stood with me. Everyone forsook me. May it not be charged against them. Then he says this, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm going to guess here. When you find yourself in that place, the Lord Jesus Christ will visibly appear at your side. Maybe you say, that's crazy. Where is that in the Bible? I just read it to you. We can even go back to the Old Testament before he was born, with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the three Hebrew children in the furnace. And the king says, wait a minute. I see four people in there, and the fourth looks like the Son of God. You see, even before he was born, he went with him through the fire. What you got to do is trust in the Lord. Remember, cross this finish line in faith. And when you find yourself here, something happens to you that I just can't teach. I believe he goes with you. And I believe it's not just, it's not whimsical. Visibly. I believe he visibly will comfort you and be with you. If unfortunately you are called to do that, just know that God's got your back and Jesus will go with you through the fire. That I guarantee, because it's in his word. And let God be true, and every man a liar. Let's pray. Luann, would you mind going out and getting Carol and Jenna?
Thank you.
Thank you for listening today to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.